You need Fox News. You do indeed. Let me repeat that. You, we the American people, need Fox News. And you need the Wall Street Journal and their editorial sections. Indeed, you do. And you need the Washington Times. And you need conservative talk radio. And you need Christian radio. You really do. Why? Because you and I deal with the so-called mainstream media, which is liberal, even radical. You know that, and I know that. It's radical. It's liberal in ownership, in management, in reporters, in editorialists. It's liberal head to toe. It is. You need the other side of the news, the rest of the facts, so that you can get all of the facts, so that you can get the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You need news, facts, and information which are, as Fox News says, fair and balanced, and presented to you by them and by all conservative media, unafraid. Unafraid. No matter the pressure or the threat or the demand of Washington and all things liberal, you need Fox News. And you're fortunate to have it. And you need conservative talk radio, and you should appreciate it. You do now more than ever. So, you may admit, if you seek objectivity, that the mainstream media is biased to the liberal, including ABC, CBS, NBC, and their affiliates, and their cable channels, and their radio stations, and any of their print media. They are, in fact, liberal. You may admit that, but you say that Fox News is biased as well, and rightly so. I think it is. Fox News and conservative talk radio do indeed slant toward the conservative. Fox tends conservative because so much else in media, in fact, the vast majority of media, slants liberal or more. Fox News does, in my opinion, attempt to be fair, but they are surely balanced and perhaps even biased. That is, they bring different facts and different interpretations to those facts, different indeed from the liberal media. And so does talk radio, conservative talk radio. It brings to light topics, issues, and matters of extreme importance to the American people, which would never otherwise be heard or known. There seems always that underlying threat to conservative talk radio, the threat to stifle and even eliminate. Witness, as this commentary indicated several weeks ago, the attempt of the FCC to engage in so-called studies for critical information needs. Nothing more than a blatant attempt by the FCC to inject this supposedly objective agency, yeah, right, into the newsrooms of American media. Many think that was little more than an attempt to ultimately control or eliminate conservative talk radio. And some even think that such an effort, if successful by the FCC, might have resulted in controlled restrictions or even elimination of some form of Christian talk radio. That's not too far-fetched. Interestingly, this FCC study, the Critical Information Needs Study, was at least indirectly financed by the insidious and radical, ready for this, George Soros. George Soros. Remember that name? You don't hear it very much from the liberal media, but this radical continues his neurotic strategies to destroy so much of America and its freedoms. One Byron York of CNSNews.com found some interesting connections between two universities that may have devised this unpopular new study criteria for use by the FCC. Two universities. Both of them had taken in more than $1.8 million. $1.8 million from the George Soros organization, Open Society Foundations. Wow. Open in what sense? And all of that since the year 2000. York found that even faculty members had ties with what Family Research Council calls, quote, the left's puppet master, end quote. A lot of people think he's a lot worse than that. The collaboration apparently dated back to the year 2012. Unfortunately for the hate speech-ridden Mr. Soros, his insidious scheme to censor the mainstream media recently collapsed at the FCC. But the message sent by the failed CIN was clear. You can expect the FCC, under the influence and demand of Barack Hussein Obama and his FCC chairman minion, Tom Wheeler, to find some other way to attack free speech, and especially conservative free speech. You just watch for that. Recall, my fellow Americans, that this study applied not only to television and radio, but the critical information needs study applied as well to print, and the Internet. In short, the FCC wanted to meddle, make decisions, and otherwise attempt to control directly or indirectly not only broadcast media, but newspaper and print, and America's beloved Internet as well. Well, they'll stop at nothing. One control after another. So go the objectives of the Obama administration, and with such control, the destruction, slowly but surely, of American freedoms, and especially free speech. The liberal bias works in many ways. There are any number of tactics which can be used in print and newspapers. For example, there is first the choice of headlines. They can be bold, well-positioned, and managed with words in such a way as to appear objective but send a message. And then there is the way that content is worded. For example, a liberal slant would state that George W. Bush misled the American people with regard to weapons of mass destruction, WMDs. In short, Bush lied to the American people. But the same facts could be stated as George W. Bush informed the American people and made decisions with respect to weapons of mass destruction based on the best reliable information available to him at the time. See the difference? The former paints Bush liar and deceiver, and the latter preserves his credibility, even though the information may have been wrong. The liberal does the former, the conservative the latter. There is also the tactic in print of where content or articles appear. There is an enormous difference between page 1 and page 8. Certain sensitive or disagreeable facts can be dealt with, but in small print, buried in the middle of other articles, or even advertising so that there is every good chance the article, though written and published, may not be found, much less read. Liberal tactics at work. Then, of course, the content can be skewed. Facts can be inserted or left out. Facts can have interpretation or spin built in, rather than merely stated objectively. When, for example, a news program on radio or television occurs, television can present pictures and film footage or quotations according to bias. In other words, they can show pictures of Mr. Obama live and merely present the other side, a conservative side, briefly, without comment or without video or newspaper pictures for that matter. Sound volume can be loud and aggressive for the one and weak and wimpy for the other. The mainstream media, for example, have paid so very little attention to Obama administration scandals, including and especially Benghazi, the IRS scandals, Fast and Furious, just to name some of the dozens of Obama scandals. Precious few comment and commentary about these scandals. Oh, perhaps they got superficial coverage initially, but that disappears as quickly as possible from any kind of meaningful coverage, much less investigation. Pictures and videos often show Obama smiling, friendly, or firm and serious, statesmanlike, and conservatives mean-looking. Recently, there were pictures side-by-side in a recent newspaper article which cast Obama in a most favorable light, and nearby a picture of Speaker of the House John Boehner showing him as angry and negative-looking. You could call that visual spin, but the message, the liberal slant, was quite clear. Then, of course, there are editorials. It is easy to know the bias of any publication or broadcast station, for that matter, when owners or management editorialize, like me. And you can tell the sincere desire for balance and the other side by the so-called op-eds, where they are run, how they are positioned, and most importantly, who does them, who provides a counterpoint of view. All of that shows clearly the intent or the lack thereof for the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Op-ed spokespersons can be token, and the content can be well managed or even suppressed. If the mainstream media has buried the truth, then contrary points of view can be quite severely restricted. And perhaps most importantly, it is the practice of all media, all bias at work, to spin or distort facts. There is virtually never anywhere from any communication the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The facts are twisted. They are spun and reinterpreted, not the truth. Or facts important for balance and full understanding are left out, again, not the whole truth. Or other information posing as facts are added in, and that is not anything but the truth, so that the end product accomplishes the biased objective of the communicator. The facts are used, manipulated for the end objectives of the communication organization. It is quite amazing indeed that the American public is so sensitive to slant and bias, but seems in so many cases to ignore it. The so-called freedoms of the press, established and guaranteed by the First Amendment to the Constitution, seem to have turned into licenses to do as a communication entity or individual may wish. The whole truth be damned. Take the New York Times, for example, a once great newspaper. The Gray Lady. The Gray Lady, as the Times is called, is owned by the Sulzberger family, one which happens to be Jewish. Arthur Sulzberger is the managing partner for the family, and in his words, does not wish the newspaper or its content to be perceived as, quote, Jewish, end quote. That is, Jewish controlled. So that much of the content and the editorials would slant more favorably toward the Arabs and the Palestinians, and in many cases with regard to the key and determining issues of the day, in their favor. Of course, many think that the Obama administration and our president favor, perhaps in a stealthful way, an Arab or Iranian position, and consequently badger Israel to give up land and otherwise make concessions, all in the name of peace, but all designed to weaken and control the nation of Israel. The New York Times, in its own way, supports the administration and that very position, wherever it can, bias at work. So interesting to me that it is Jewish bias at work in reverse. By the way, the infamous George Soros is himself Jewish, or at least as the Freedom Foundation says, Soros was Jewish, for he is now a deracinated Jew who has in his sordid history exploited his fellow Jews, especially in the Second World War. The lust for power knows no limits, as it can destroy so much in its greedy path. And even more about the New York Times. The Times executive editor Jill Abramson says that Barack Obama's White House is the most secretive White House that she has ever covered. Ironically, Abramson made her remarks in an interview with the Arab Qatar-controlled, ready for this, Al Jazeera America. Al Jazeera America? Said Abramson, quote, "It is, that is the Obama White House, the most secretive White House that I have ever been involved in covering. I had direct dealing with the George Bush White House when they had concerns that stories we were about to run put the national security under threat. But you know," says Abramson, "they were not pursuing criminal leak investigations. The Obama administration has had 7 criminal leak investigations. 7. That is more than twice the number of any previous administrations in our history. It is on a scale never seen before. This is the most secretive White House that, at least as a journalist, says Abramson, I have ever dealt with." Those, my friends, the words of Jill Abramson, New York Times executive editor. Wow. When Abramson was asked whether the crackdown from the White House comes directly from Obama himself, she said, quote, "I would think that it would have to." Let me repeat that. "I would think that it would have to come from Mr. Obama himself. I do not know that, but certainly enough attention has been focused on this issue that, if he departed from the policies of his government, I think we would know that at this point," end quote. Abramson thinks that he, Obama, would have to know. He would have to know. And more about this secretive White House. Chuck Todd, chief White House correspondent for NBC News, told Joe Scarborough that the Obama White House is, quote, "very controlling," end of quote, and selectively secretive. Todd said the following, quote, "They're very controlling. I mean, that's probably the best word to use, okay? Every White House wants to control their own message, and they want to control access." Boy, that's a key word. Access. "And they want to decide what's news and what's not. But it is amazing to me," said Todd, "that this White House does get obsessed when something leaks. They seem to be sometimes more worried about who did it. How did this get out? Rather than dealing with the story itself. End quote. Todd of NBC News goes on to say that the White House is using technology to get around the press, quote, in a way that we've never seen any other White House do, end quote. Todd repeats again that the White House is selectively secretive. Obviously, they're not as secretive when they think it's of political benefit. In short, the White House manages the news, creates access to that news, and to the White House itself, and to President Obama himself, and you play ball or you are eliminated through denial of access. As the excellent publication AIM, Accuracy in Media, indicated in a recent report, so much for the promised most transparent administration in history. No way. The facts are what the White House wants them to be.